Let's turn to the Word of God and to Acts in chapter 4. The believers pray from verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up. The rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed and anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders for the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow. I'm sure God is going to bless that reading from his word to us. Well, it's lovely to be here again this morning. It's lovely to be here in the sunshine on a warm day. Ursula sends her love to you. She's on prayer duty this morning, so she's praying for us while we can pray for them as well. But she's also been working with CYM, and they've been knee deep in the school's residential. So they're four schools into it, and the weather is gradually getting better. It was a little bit cold in the morning, but now it's a little bit better. They've got a break. I think they're four schools in. They have a little break this week, and then they've got more schools to come. But they're having a great time of witness and testimony and doing fun things with the children from local schools. So please pray into that work. Those young people will take away with them an impression of what a Christian is and what a Christian does. So let's pray that God is going to do amazing things in the lives of these children and young people. Now, as you all know, me and Ursula, we're in the stage of season where we have grandchildren. Grandchildren are a tremendous blessing and a very interesting stage. So we have two young boys that arrive on our doorstep on their bikes in the morning before they go to St. Albans School. That we've got one that's been there 2 years and the other one year. So they arrive, we call ourselves a refueling station. So they arrive in the morning. We have to make sure they are watered and ready to go. Then I am allowed to walk them partly down the road, see them over the road, and then I have to say goodbye. All right, if I go a little bit further, they look at me and they say, "Are you walking still?" So then I realise that my time has ended. I wish them Godspeed and have a great day, boys. Go get them. And then I retreat back to the refueling station. And approximately, now my wife is not always there because when she's on work days, but she had a great day last week. Great day is a bake day. We all love bake days in our house. I love a bake day, and the children love a bake day. So when the children came in and reported back at 3:27 precisely, as they wandered down the street and they came over the road all on their own and turned up to get their bikes, they all always come in ready to be given cake or whatever it is on offer. Now the thing is, as they opened the door, the smell hit them. Aww. And they hadn't had that, to be fair, for quite a while. So their little faces lit up and there was joy in the house for everyone. because they approached the table and got their warm sausage roll and their little bit of cake and their faces. And Simeon said, "Grandma, how did you get the time to do all this?" And I, you know, it's at those moments you just have to be thankful, don't you? You just have to be thankful. And now Elijah, we have two very different grandchildren. Elijah is the kind of grandchildren, he notices everything, very attentive to my wife, but notices everything. How are you? How are you doing? Simeon will come in, park himself, thank you for the food and go in. No sort of niceties. How was your day? You know, that sort of thing. Elijah, yes, it was a good day.
Yeah.
So we said we have one of each. One communicator and the other one a cake eater. So it's a joy. But you see, God made them differently, and we have to relish their differences. But we love it because Elijah is the one that gives us information. Simeon, we have to go and look for it. So you know what that's like? So this week, sometimes they arrive at our house at different times. So they haven't waited for each other, they won't. So I love it because Elijah often is the first one, and he'll come in and he'll just give me a little bit of information. You know, you like a little bit of information. So he'll say to me, he's walking with a girl down the street. And then you know that there's a little twist and there's a little turn. So that's the season that we're enjoying. So we're enjoying the season of the grandchildren just getting a little bit older, their character's being developed, and we're seeing the fun things that happen when cake is involved and all sorts of bacon. So they're a joy. They both have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that because they're working it out every day. And it's a tremendous privilege to see them grow in their faith and their enjoyment together. So they're friends, sometimes not so. Sometimes they're good brothers, sometimes you can see that the tension's there. It's a typical family dynamic. But we're thankful for God and for this season. So let's come to God's word and let's just pray. God's going to meet us in his words, and God has something uniquely to say to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word now, as we delve into the riches in these pages, I pray that you would speak to us. Father, you know the kind of week we've all had. You know the ups and downs of life, the difficulties, the problems that come our way. And yet, Father, right now, as we sit in your presence, I pray that your Holy Spirit will meet with us here. Father, if we need a word of encouragement, then I pray that we'll take that from the scriptures this morning. If we need a moment of warning or a word of warning, then I pray that we'll take that away from your scripture this morning. Whatever it is, I pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to us over these next few moments. Draw close to us as we seek to lean in to your word now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So a little bit of background. Now you've seen on my slide there, warning Christian's plan. I want you to keep that in mind. It's not going to change for a while. Warning Christian's plan. Now I believe that you've come off the back a few weeks ago maybe of your time of prayer. So you've had, you know what it's like when you meet together to pray. It's powerful. It's dangerous. When we dare to speak to Jesus Christ and ask him to intervene in people's lives and in our lives. Prayer is powerful. Now I want you to know that in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it started with a prayer time. The disciples were going off to the temple. It was prayer time. But the whole background to this is the disciples had been called by Jesus from fishing. Do you remember? They were fishermen, Peter and John. Some of them collected taxes, and sometimes their day and night jobs, whatever they were called to follow Jesus Christ. You remember the stories about when the disciples were called individually to follow Jesus Christ. So they had spent 3 years with Jesus Christ. Imagine what that would have been like. They had seen him heal. They had seen him speak to crowds, be gentle and forceful. They'd seen him speak with authority that even the winds and the seas obeyed him. All of this they'd been there for. They had hung together. They had seen Lois. They had spent time. They had watched him go to pray. Then he had been arrested and been crucified, and their world had been turned upside down. But now in Acts we read that they had been empowered by God's promised Holy Spirit, and they were taking the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, out there. They were speaking, and they were emboldened to speak with the Holy Spirit with boldness. They had seen the way Jesus spoke with his Father God often in prayer, the importance of the relationship. So with that backdrop, things were heating up, and Peter and John were going around together preaching, healing, making Jesus known. Well, what a transformation. So they'd been through dark days. They'd been through incredible days. Then they'd been through dark days where they just didn't get it. And then their world had changed. The promised Holy Spirit had come, and these guys were out there leading the charge to get to know Jesus Christ. Do you realize who Jesus Christ was? Do you realize who you crucified? Do you realize who he really was? Or didn't you know him? Where is he in your life today, to mine and to me? Peter and John had a run-in with the Sanhedrin. They were put in jail overnight to cool down. But Peter had preached God's word. And anyway, the long but short answer is that they wanted them to stop. I want you to stop preaching about Jesus Christ. Enough is enough. Stop stirring the people up. Stop telling the people about Jesus Christ and all he'd done, and pointed to him as the Saviour of the world. But Peter and John left, making no such promise. But they had been threatened by the Sanhedrin and then released. And that's the backdrop to these next few verses. And then it says, did you notice, on their release. But before we get into that, I want to ask you a personal question. And I know that you'll understand this question and the importance of it because you've had a week of prayer. What is prayer? What is prayer this morning? What is prayer to you this morning? You see, we live in a world of almost over-communication, don't we? You can be grabbed anywhere and everywhere. You can be grabbed on, and people stay in touch with text, Twitter, Facebook, email, phone, letter writing, a little bit old hat, but you can still do them. But there are 101 different ways that people can get their message over to you, over to me, let alone the TV and the news and the newspaper and all of those sort of things. But prayer, it's two people engaging with each other and sharing, discussing, learning, speaking to God, speaking to the maker of heaven and earth because of Jesus Christ has done. The veil has been rent. We have access to God. We can pray directly to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can speak to God the Father and ask him to move mountains. But I wonder if we bother. When was the last time you asked God to remove a mountain? When was the last time you asked God to do anything? I wrote down a note as we were, as Di was praying, and it just spoke to me. Do you know, we can, and I wrote it down, you can be the answer to someone's prayer. Isn't that incredible? We can be the answer. You can be the answer to someone's prayer right now. Somebody may be praying about a situation or something, and God the Holy Spirit is going to give you a nudge later on, and you are going to be the means to answer that prayer for someone. Isn't that incredible? That's a wow, isn't it? Can you get hold of that? You can be the answer to someone's prayer today. Wow. We can bring things to prayer. We can bring things to God. We bring our world situation. Christine prayed beautifully about the coming election and different things, different events. It's a way that we can support each other, share, stand with each other through stuff. We can join together in prayer. And it's powerful, isn't it? Coming together in prayer. It's relationship building. It's life changing. It's a chance and opportunity as well to hear from God. And you know, the sad thing about it is, if we stop talking to each other, we go out of relationship, don't we? How many times in a relationship, husband and wife, or son and daughter, or whatever it is, a close friend, when you stop communicating, when you stop talking, the relationship gets dull and cold, doesn't it? Because you stop sharing, you stop communicating, you stop talking. If I go for a few weeks without hearing some of the grandchildren's chat, then I lose place with where they are. You need to be in there, don't we? We need to be in the communication. We need to be talking to God, our Heavenly Father. We need to be encouraging each other in prayer because we're united in moving forwards. There are some things that we need to pray together on, for direction, for hope, for a future, for all that focus. And we want God's heart amongst it all. A couple of nonsense remarks that I thought don't really help, and I wonder about. Do you know, prayer sometimes has got a bad rap. Do you know, sometimes people will say, have you known it when you're sharing with someone, you're having a heart-to-heart, and somebody will say at the end of it, oh, I don't know if I can do anything to help, but I'll pray for you. It's almost like an apology, isn't it? It's an apology. But prayer, let me tell you this, very categorical, prayer is not an apology, it's doing something. If somebody shares something that's on their heart and their mind, and you go away and you pray, you are bringing heaven's resources into the problem, into the situation. You are doing something. Prayer is not doing nothing. It's never an apology. You can bring heaven's resources to any part of this world by bringing that situation or that person or that child, whatever it is, to God in prayer. It's not doing nothing. It's doing something. What's your picture of God? If you believe that God can't answer prayer and can't intervene, then your God is too small and you need to widen your horizons. You need to sit up and you need to pay attention because God can do anything. So I like this. On their release, we're going to quickly go. If you have your Bibles open, we're going to go through these verses and we're going to do a little bit of a summary. So let's go through these verses together. So on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. I want you to notice this. Peter and John had been through some stuff. All right, they'd healed, they'd spoken to the in front of the Sanhedrin, they'd preached, and they'd been threatened. And the first thing that they wanted to do on their release is they wanted to go back to the fellowship. They wanted to go back to those with same and eager minds who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were accountable and they reported back. And I like that. I like that. They were accountable to the believers. They were accountable and they reported back. Isn't that good? Do you know when there's a situation developing in the fellowship or something's happening in the family and it's reported back, and when it is reported back, we can all get involved and we can pray. We had a tremendously sad situation at Fields Church a few weeks ago. Really hard situation. Young lady of about 34, Emily. Young child of four, and her husband found her dead on the bed. Tragic. She loved the Lord. She's gone home. But a tragic situation. And the church, as the word got out, and we could pray together. But you know, on that Sunday morning, when the news came on during Saturday, and coming to church early on Sunday, walking in, I saw groups of people huddled together crying together, praying for each other, leaning in and supporting each other as the news has affected. And then I saw people coming in who hadn't heard the news yet and the impact that that had as well. But you know what I saw? I saw family caring for each other. I saw people coming together with an arm around and just listening. Sometimes it's just about listening. Sometimes it's about praying and just a hug. But I saw family coming together, united in their grief and in their shock, but realizing that Emily is now home. But for Lawrence and Charlie, it's desperately sad and hard. And so as a fellowship, you come together to pray. And when Peter and John came from their time from the Sanhedrin with their threats and with all that has gone on, they came to the believers and they prayed and they spoke into it. But they were accountable to the believers and they reported back. And that's a tremendous thing that we can do. And when they heard this, they heard what Peter and John had to say. They heard what the Sanhedrin had to say. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. We're reminding ourselves, God, the problems are out there. The religious leaders are out to get us. All of these problems conspire against us. And yet in the midst of that, you are sovereign, God. You rule over everything. You rule over everything. And they're reminding each other, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in there. Hey guys, this God is on our side. Let's not worry about the Sanhedrin. Let's not worry about those that seek to take our life or mess around with our lives. Sovereign Lord, wow. Talk about getting things in perspective. Have you ever been like that? You know, sometimes when everything seems to be crushing you down, when the world seems to be crowding in and God seems to be a small thought somewhere in the background and you forgot that he's sovereign over everything. We forgot, didn't we? We forgot that our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Do we believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning in your life? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. There's nothing that we need to fear because God is on our side. Can you remember how the children of Israel felt when God was fighting for them? Wow. It's incredible, isn't it? God is on our side. And we need sometimes to bring God into the situation. So they prayed and their voices were together in prayer. Imagine what a prayer meeting this was. Everything that you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And they're reminding themselves. Then they're going to Psalm 2. They're bringing a little bit of scripture into the prayer. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up. The rulers band together against the Lord, Psalm 2, and against his anointed one. And they're reminded, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Wow. What a prayer. Can you imagine the prayers just getting bigger? Do you know, when we had the privilege of me and Ursula going out to see some missionaries in Thailand. And it was one of the best experiences of our lives. And sometimes we go out thinking that we're bringing the gospel or bringing a message from God for them. But I tell you that they have got something that we have long since forgotten, I think. And we went into a school, and it was an all-age school, literally from youngsters up to teens. And they had a prayer time together in the evenings. They ended the day like that. And we'd gone to, they wanted us to give our testimonies. But you know, when they prayed, they said, we're going to have a time of prayer. Everyone prayed together. Wow. I was just in awe. Because from young, I looked around and there were young kids. And there were older ones. And they were all praying. All together. It was a little bit disconcerting because I hadn't been in a prayer meeting like that before. But you know, there was something very special when we leaned in and when we saw that here were young people, children, and they were spending time praying to God. Wow. There's something very special when we pray together. There's something very special when we pray on our own. And there are times for both. There are times when we need to go on our knees to God. And there are times when we need to meet together to pray together. Because there is strength and unity and direction and focus in doing that. And how Peter and John needed that right now. They needed to reset. They needed to get away from the threats and everything that they'd been filling their hearts with, and they just needed to refill. They needed to remind themselves of how great God is, that He's sovereign Lord over all, that He is the one to whom we have to do. Now listen to this verse 28, it's very, very important. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now listen, this is important. Alright, because the disciples, do you remember at the cross, the disciples were confused. Nothing made any sense. They'd been with this man. They thought he was the hope. They were spending time with him. They were enjoying his presence. They were watching the things that he did. And then he was arrested. And then he was taken away to be crucified. And they were crushed. They didn't get it. Because this was the one that they were following. This was the one that they were putting their hope and faith in. And yet here he was going to the cross. And they didn't get it. What was going on? What was happening? It didn't make sense. They hadn't put the whole picture together. But you see now, in Acts and chapter 4, they had. You see, their eyes were open. Now they realize when Jesus had opened the scriptures to them, when they realized that when Jesus said, I will have to suffer, I will be given my life. They didn't understand it at the time, but now, going through and seeing the Calvary and the cross, now on the other side, the promised Holy Spirit coming and opening their eyes to the truth, they could see, they could understand exactly what was going on. It was a different story. A different story. So they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. They understood it. They understood that Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. They understood that death needed to be defeated. They understood that His precious blood needed to be shed. Why? So the price for your sin and my sin could be paid in full. That's what a Savior did. That's what a Savior did. I went to a conference this week in Norwich. Don't always like going to Norwich because it is enemy territory, but nonetheless. But there's a preacher there, and I heard him recently say this. He said, I was at a football match, and somebody behind me blasphemed and said, Jesus Christ. And he said, I turned around and I said, that person died for me. Don't you dare speak about the Son of God like that. Don't you talk about that. He's my friend. I'm not going to talk about your friend like that. Don't talk about my friend like that. And he totally engaged him and stood up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in the grassroots football situation, a young lad at 12, 13 went around and was going around saying, my dad told me it was okay to swear now. And he went up to him and he said, I want you to tell your dad it's not cool to swear. You see, we need to stand on the principles of this word of God's. The name of Jesus Christ is powerful. It shouldn't be a name of blasphemy. It shouldn't be taken in vain. And we need to stand up for Jesus Christ and not be frightened to say that He is the one that died on the cross. Don't talk about my Savior like that. Now, we're getting to the practical bit. Verse 29, now, Lord, consider their threats. Okay, Lord, we've considered their threats. Now, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. We don't want to consider their threats anymore. We don't. We really don't. We want to go out there with boldness. And we want to speak about Jesus Christ. We want to hold your name up. Speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. Perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What's your prayer? They didn't turn the towel in. Peter and John didn't come back and say, hey, we're not getting involved anymore. It's getting a bit hot out there. We don't want to go into the, have a run-in with the Sanhedrin anymore. We don't want to have any more problems. We don't want to have any more run-ins with anybody in authority. They didn't do that, did they? They reminded themselves of sovereign lords. And then they reminded themselves of what they were involved in. And they said, consider their threats. We won't consider their threats anymore. They will have no power over us. Let us speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. Perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We're going to do great things. We're going to go from here. We're going to be re-empowered, reset, and we're going to go out there and do God's business. Anybody want to do that? Anybody got grandchildren? Anybody got a wife or a husband that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody got family and friends who doesn't know the Saviour of the world? He loves them. He loves them. And sometimes you have to show his love by loving them and loving the Saviour too. Sometimes we need to show to our grandchildren that God and Jesus Christ is important, because sometimes when they go out there it gets rough. And there's all sorts going on. My grandchildren will say to me, I can't tell you the kind of language that they're using in schools these days. God knew that they needed a touch. After they prayed, verse 31, listen to this. The place where they'd meeten was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The church was new. The church was getting going, and God knew that they needed a sign. They needed the comfort of his word, his promised presence with them. So he filled them again, and the place was shaken. It was like a little earthquake, the original says. And they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit, spoke the word of God boldly. Wow. And then they were ready to go back. They were ready to go back out there into the fights. So if we can have our second slide up, we're going to just run through some points together. And the first point is this. Peter and John were accountable. They were accountable and they reported back, Acts in chapter 4. That reporting led to prayer and to praise. You see, when we come back sometimes and we report, we have a situation, something, it leads us to prayer. And that's what it should do. We need to pray into those situations. And sometimes that's great, isn't it? If you have a prayer partner or you come together as a fellowship, you pray into those things, asking the God of the Bible to intervene. So the reporting led to prayer and to praise and to resetting. And the next point was this. They reminded themselves of God's word at the time. I love that. Sometimes bringing scripture in, they brought some to him. They didn't have a lot of God's word like we did, but they brought in what they knew. And they brought in Psalm 2 because it was just what they needed, that confirmation of God and what things had happened. And we have God's words. We have God's promises. And they're all in here. And they're for us to use. God has spoken. And we need to read his word. We need to remind ourselves. And when we read God's word every day, the Holy Spirit buries it in our heart, and just when we need it, it can come out. And sometimes it will be in the prayer meeting, sometimes it will be in the one-to-ones or the whatever. The next one is this. God gave them understanding. You see, before the cross, they didn't understand everything that Jesus had said to them. And yet, now looking back, it all came together and they understood us. And I like that. We have the whole word of God. And yet there are still some things that I don't understand. I don't always understand why God does a certain thing in a certain way. But there is a lot that we do understand by reading God's word. So you must read it. Are you reading it every day? Let it soak into your soul. Let it build you up from the inside. It's powerful. The next point is this. They were set up so God could set us up, God, to speak with great boldness. You see, the disciples were re-empowered. They were reset. Specific, direct powers. Help us to speak with great boldness. We want to heal. We want to perform signs and wonders, and we want to do it in Jesus' name. We want everything to point to Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about the Saviour of the world. And that's important, isn't it? When we're talking to our friends and when we're talking in our families, when we're talking to our grandchildren, we need to always point to the Saviour of the world. It's all about Him. His name is powerful. His name is powerful. Let me just say in Philippians, let me just see if I can find those verses. All right. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. This is the name of Jesus Christ. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray and when we seek to speak out for Jesus Christ, we do it in His name and in His authority. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. The last point. God's response. Filled again with the Holy Spirit specifically to do as they requested. You see, God knows you. Isn't that great? God knows you. He knows your name. He knows how old you are. And He knows when your birthday is coming up. But He knows you. So He knows what you need. And He knew that Peter and John needed a fresh filling to get out there and get amongst the people again. And a fresh touch from God. And God uniquely knows what we need to serve Him. We just need to humbly come before Him and ask. That's what we need to do. We need to be serious with God, realizing that He is sovereign. But then this last verse I want to leave with you, the last slide. It's a takeaway. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Peter and John represented Jesus Christ. So did the other disciples. So when they went out, they were representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So do we. So do we. So we need to be sure that whatever happens, that we conduct ourselves in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that word means be a good citizen. Behavior. Be a good citizen. Wow. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. How's your prayer life this morning? How's your prayer life? What have you asked God for recently? It's a challenge, isn't it? To get into God, to get back to God, and to ask God for those things that we need to get out there tomorrow and live for Him. We need His strength, don't we? Not easy days to live in. They're not easy times.